Seder. Okay, Chodesh Tov u'Mivorach. Adar Aleph, right? Chodesh Adar Aleph. Misha Nichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. We say, we learn that from the Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara tells us, Misha Nichnas Av Mimamatin B'Simcha. The joke goes, when Abba comes home, when the father comes home, that's all the monkey business stops. Mimatin B'Simcha. Aval Misha Nichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Okay, so today what I'd like to look at is I'd like to understand what is a leap year. I'd like to understand it in the halachic aspect of what is a leap year, in the nigle, in the revealed Torah, what is a leap year, and in the Torah sanistar a little bit, in the pnimius haTorah, right? We know that every mitzvah has the action that we do, the technical details, and the reasons technically why we do it and how we do it, and every mitzvah that we do has an internal reason, has a way in which we do the action and how we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this specific action. So I'd like to look at the leap year and this level. The Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Dazayin Pasuk Aleph, Ushmor Es Chodesh Ha'aviv. You should watch over the month of Aviv. The month of Aviv, the month of spring. This is the month of Nisan. And we have a special inyan. And it's not actually listed by the Rambam as a separate mitzvah, but I'm not going to get into that right now. We have an inyan, we have a commandment that the lunar calendar, which we primarily use, has to be aligned with the solar calendar. And why is this mitzvah? Because we want that Nisan should always fall out during springtime. It should always maintain its status as Chodesh HaAviv. The Christians primarily use the solar calendar. They use the solar calendar. Muslims and other Eastern religions use the lunar calendar, right? What happens then? Ramadan, right, comes out a different month every year. It's a month earlier every year. So last year it was Chodesh Sivan, I believe, was Ramadan. This year it's Chodesh Iyar. I just find Ramadan always comes out whenever you want to do Shiputzim. It's Ramadan. You can't find any workers, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, right, what do you need to do? You need to align the solar and the lunar. You have to make it that Chodesh HaAviv, springtime, Nisan is always during springtime. You can't have Nisan in the winter, okay? I don't know what that means about people who live in Australia and South Africa, right? That they could figure out on their own. But the Nisan, springtime, is supposed to be Nisan. Okay, so that's what the pasuk tells us. So now we have a lot of questions, though. Why Dafka Adar? Why do we double Adar, right? Why do we double Adar? Why don't we double Nisan? We know why we don't double Nisan, because no one wants to make Pesach twice, not even Pesach Katan, okay? And we don't, right? And why not Sivan? Why not Kislev? Two Hanukkahs, right? Too many donuts, right? We'll turn into a Sufganiyah, okay? Other months, why Adar? And what does Adar Aleph mean? What does it mean that we have an Adar Aleph? What's happening during Adar Aleph? What's the koichos of Adar Aleph? So if we look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, we're going to find something fascinating. Fascinating. First of all, I think it's fascinating that the mitzvah, this siman of Tav Resh Tzadik Zayin, is the last siman in the Orach Chaim, in this section of the Mishnah Berurah, in this section of the Shulchan Aruch. It's the last one. It's one of the smallest simanim in all of the Shulchan Aruch. And let's look at it for a minute. Yom Yud Dalet V'Tesvav Ba'adar Rishon Ein Noiflim Al Pneihem. There's no Tachanun and Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan. This one looks like this. You don't have it? I can't barely see mine. Yep, this is it. Here. Yom Yud Dalet V'Tesvav Sheba'adar Rishon Ein Noiflim Al Pneihem. Ein noflim al pneihem. There's no tachanun an Purim katan and an shushan Purim katan. Ve'ein omrim mizmor yancho Hashem biyom tzara. And we don't say the mizmor after Shmona Esrei, after Nefilas Apayim, after tachanun, which this is a mizmor which we take out whenever it's a happy day, when there's a chasan in shul, when there's a bris in shul, right? They say about the Vishnitzer Rebbe, he's never said tachanun his entire life. He's never said tachanun, because he's always at a bris, or there's always a chasan. Never said tachanun. the vision of the Rebbe. That's called Simcha Tamid, right? Okay. Even during the 9 days, there's always a bris. There's always a bris. He's always a sandik and a bris every single day. Okay. Ein noflim al paneim ve'ein oimrim mizmor yancha Hashem b'yom tzara va'asurim behesped v'tanis, and we're not allowed to fast and we're not allowed to eulogize. Aval, but shar dvarim ein nohagim behem. The rest of the matters we don't follow the custom. We'll find out what that is. But v'yesh oimrim, there are those who say, there's another opinion, da'af behesped v'tanis mutarim, that hesped, that eulogizing and fasting are permitted on the 14th and 15th of Adar Aleph. And then Hege, this is the Ramah, right? What we read until now was the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Cairo. Now we read the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles. Derech Agav, since we're looking in a Mishnah Brura, since we're looking in the Shulchan Aruch, it's noteworthy to say that today is the Yortzeit of the Shach, Rav Shabtai Cohen, the author of the Sifse Cohen, who lived approximately around 400 years ago, and who was probably one of the greatest pillars of halacha that we have. In all of the Shulchan Aruch, I believe there's only 4 times that we don't paskin according to the Shach. His opinion, and he said not to paskin according to him in those 4 ways, to paskin according to the Sma. He died at age 42. Age 42. He did all of this work and all of this learning age 42 when he spent a good part of his life running away from the Kazakhs and looking for a daughter. It's a long story, the daughter that he lost. But that's a story for another time. Okay. The Shach, Rav Shabtai Cohen, and his Sefer, the Sifse Cohen, Tokvas Cohen, and the Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpan and Arachayim. Okay. Hege, so the Ramah says, V'haminhag kisvar harishona. But what's our minhag? Our minhag is that we don't do tanis, we don't fast, and we don't have eulogies on the 14th, and that we don't say tachanun, and that we don't say lamanatzeach. V'yesh oimrim, and then the Ramah says, but wait a second, not just that we don't fast, and we don't have eulogies, and we don't say tachanun, but there are those who say, chayiv, it's an obligation, laharbos b'mishta v'simcha, to have a mishta, to have a feast, and to make merriment, b'yud dalet sheba adar rishon, and what we call Purim Katan, the 14th of Adar Rishon. And it's brought down in the tour in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz, who was from the Balei HaTosfos. Ve'eino nohagin kein. We don't have that minhag that there's a chiyov, an obligation to have a meal, a feast. Mimakol makom, but in any case, yarbek tzat bisuda, a person should increase, make something else. If you only have one course, add on a course. If you only usually have a sandwich, add on something. Have ice cream, right? Yeah, Ben and Jerry's too, if you really want to be mahader. Kedei let's say it, in order to, let's say, yedei chol ha-machmirim, in order to be yotzei according to those who are stringent. Listen to how, and then he adds on a piece, the Ramah, v'tov lev mishte tamid. He quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, which says, toiv lev, the good-hearted, he's always at a party. He's at a mishte tamid, he's at a constant feast. And Rashi there explains, what's toiv lev? Who is this person who's always at a party, right? He's not a teenager, right? Who is this person who's always at a party? He's someone who's toiv lev. He's someone who is samech bechelko, Rashi says. And the Pritzadik says, it's not just someone who's samech bechelko. The Pritzadik, Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, says, a toiv lev is somebody, he's magdered, very interesting. He says, a toiv lev is somebody who is always looking for ichud. He's always looking for unity. He's looking for unity between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's looking for unity between himself and other people. He's a connector. He's a person who always is connecting to Hashem Yisparach, and a person who's always connecting to other people. This person, his life is just this perpetual party. His life is just one big party. He's just a happy person. Now, in the Shari Tshuva, I don't know if you have it on your sources, but the Shari Tshuva, who's a Perush, so he says something beautiful. He brings down a minhag from Rav Yechiel Miparis, right? Rav Yechiel, also from the Balei Tosfos from Paris, who says, Haya Rogil Laharbos Besuda. Rav Yechiel Miparis had a minhag that on Yud Dalid, on Purim Katan, he would make a big feast, Ulahazmin Bnei Adam, and he invited guests, Kimashmos ein bein other. Why did he do this? Because the Mishnah in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet says, in Mishseches Megillah, ein bein other rishon l'sheni. There's no difference between the first other and the second other. And then the Mishnah qualifies that and says, except for Kriyas HaMegillah of the Matanas Levyonim, except for reading the Megillah and giving gifts. In other words, the Mishnah is saying that there's really no difference between other Rishon and other Sheni. They're the same. What are they the same in? In everything except for Kriyas HaMegillah and Matanas Levyonim. Therefore, we need to have a Mishteh on Yud Dalet. Therefore, we need to give Mishalach Manas on Yud Dalet. Okay? Now, we're not noyheg that lehalacha. We saw that in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. There's those who say that it's halacha, and there are those who say it's not a chiyuv, but it's a good thing to do. But what the Rechil Miparis said, he said, it's the same. In other words, the koichos, the spiritual energies, the matzav ruach, the mood of other Rishon, is supposed to be exactly the same. There's no difference in other Sheni. Technically, right, we hear the Megillah in other Sheni, but really, other Rishon is just as much Purim, as just as much Shushan Purim, as other Sheni, right? It's the same thing. I use this Mishnah B'Tokef. My birthday is Shushan Purim. That's my parents' name is Shoshana. I have two birthdays. Ein ben other Rishon, other Sheni. There's no difference, right? So I get a birthday party, also other Rishon, also other Sheni. Fair is fair, right? That's what the Halacha says. So, but what Yechiel Miparis is telling us is that the koichos of other, everything it says about Misha Nichnas other Ma'ibim B'Simcha, and not only that, but there's an opinion in Maseches Megillah which says that a person could be yotzei reading the Megillah during the entire month of Adar. We don't paskin. Children do not do this at home, right? We don't paskin like this. But Lemaisa, the opinion that we could be yotzei with Kriyas HaMegillah during the entire month of Adar comes from the fact that during the entire month of Adar, the energy of Purim is pulsating through the world. The way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just only on Purim and Shushan Purim, it's from Rosh Chodesh until then, Mishenichnas Adar Marben B'Simcha, doesn't peak on Tet Vav, on Shushan Purim, and then, it keeps on going, and going, and going, and going. And one of the reasons that we dafka have a double Adar is because we want to lismoch geula legeula. There's a concept in halacha that we always put one redemption next to the other. That's why in the morning, right, we say right before Shmona Esrei, which Shmona Esrei is considered redemption because Hashem hears our tefillos right away, we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why in Mincha, when we don't, right, we add in the extra pasuk before Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, because now we're putting a little pasuk of geula in, and now we're being saimich geula legeula. We're always putting two redemptions to each other. So we want to put the redemption of Purim next to the redemption of Nisan. And when Chazal told us, Mishenichnas Adar Marben B'Simcha, it starts Rosh Chodesh, and it keeps on going and going and going until when? Until Av. Until Chodesh Av. When then the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Av, Mimamatim B'Simcha. But when Chodesh Av comes, then we'll start to turn down the volume of the Simcha. Right? Don't tell this to the kids. Right? Don't tell this to the kids. They don't need to know this. Right? They don't. All the shtick that they do in Adar is enough. Right? Another reason, a very, very nice Hasidic idea about why we dafka double the month of Adar, is because there's a concept in halacha, in kashrus, called batel b'shishim. Batel b'shishim is if you have a huge vat and you're boiling hot chocolate, right? Okay? And a tiny drop of something bisari ends up in the pot, and it's batel b'shishim, there's conditions, it's not just 160. Also, it can't be noisetam, it can't give out tam, it can't be certain foods that are fleishiks, right? We're not having a discourse right now on batel b'shishim, but just know there's a concept called batel b'shishim, okay? So if we double Chodesh Adar, we have 60 days of simcha, and if there's any atzvos, if there's any sadness during the year, it's batel b'shishim, right? The koyach of simcha of Adar could wipe it out. So therefore, we double the month of Adar. Adar also means Adir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength is great, Adir Bamarom Hashem, and it also comes from the Lashon of Dar, of dwelling. We're reading now the Pashios Truma Tetzaveh, we'll take a break during Kisisa, Vayakel Pikude, all of the Pashios which are about the Mishkan, which are about making a dwelling place for Hashem Yisbarach, This is all read in Chodesh Adar, and the Pre-Tzadik Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin says this is the Ikar Avoda of a person. This is the main job of a person, is to make his heart, the Rav Tzadok writes, is to make his heart a dwelling place for Hashem Yisparach. A person makes his heart a dwelling place for Hashem's Shechina. Today we have no Mishkan, we have our heart. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, right? I will build a tabernacle, a Mishkan in my heart, a place for Hashem in my heart. So the Shari Tshuva continues by explaining that Rav Yechiel Pariz also says something. He says something beautiful. And he says, B'chochma yasad chasima me'ein psicha. He says, with his wisdom, he ends Orachayim the same way he started Orachayim. What does that mean? The Shulchan Aruch starts of Orachayim, that section of the Shulchan Aruch starts, and with the concept, the first thing a person knows, has to know is, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. I place HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me, Tamid, always. How does he end the Shulchan Aruch? He ends, V'toiv Lev Mishte Tamid, a person who's Tamid. So he says here, the Shari Tshuva says, the first Tamid, the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, that's connected the Korban Tamid of the Boker. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were two Korban Tamids. There were two consistent Korbanos which were brought every day. One was brought in the morning, and one was brought Ben Ha'arbayim in the afternoon. So the Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Samid, which the Shulchan Aruch starts off with, that's Keneged the Korban Tamid of the morning, of Shachris. And the Toiv Lev Mishte Tamid, the Tamid which the Shulchan Aruch ends with, that's Keneged the Tamid of the Ben Ha'arbayim of the afternoon. He starts with Tamid, he ends with Tamid. What is he coming to tell us? He's coming to tell us something so beautiful. And this, as Chatasi Ani Maskir Hayom, this is something wild, this is hard. This is hard homework that he's giving us, right? I heard this from Rebbe Tzindavor Leah Zilberberg, she told me this. She said, if you notice in the Gemara, there's a lot of times where they interview the Tanaim and the Amoraim, and they ask them, Bame Zachita? How did you merit such wonderful children? How did you merit to learn so much Torah? How did you merit to teach so much Torah? How did you merit such wealth? How did you merit long life? How did you merit health? They're always interviewing people. And there's a lot of different answers, right? This person always ate chalashuddas. This person always ate malava malka, right? Those, you know, I always tell my kids when they say they don't want to wash from malava malka or chalashuddas, I said, when you're hungry, you eat. Once, eat for Hashem, right? What's the, you know, what? It won't hurt you. They say they were always, they ate always chalashuddas. They ate malava malka. They were always makten p'nei chaveru b'shalom. They always greeted the other person first. But if you notice, one thing which is a common denominator between all of the answers is they all start miyomai. All of my days, consistency, tamid, right? A person becomes consistent in their avodas Hashem. It's not one day I feel like eating malava malka. I don't feel like eating malava malka. I feel like being a nice person and smiling at everybody. Or today I'm taking the vacation because I'm really looking for some cave to check into where there's no person, you know, there's no people for 20 miles around, right? Most people go through one day, as they say, my kids say, yom asa, yom basa, which means one day garlic, one day onion, right? I don't even know what that means, but it means, okay, so one's good, some bad, right? But consistency, miyomai, tamid, shivisi Hashem li negdi samid, always, Hashem is always in front of me, toiv, lev, mishte, tamid, of being constantly. And the Choyvas HaLavavos writes, you know who our role model is for consistency? Sari Imenu. When the Medrash says about Sari Imenu, that her candle were lit from one Erev Shabbos to the next Erev Shabbos, and there was a cloud over her tent constantly, and her dough was always fresh. And there's a fourth one. I don't know why everybody cut the medrash off at the fourth one. Her tent was always open, patuach lirvacha. She was always welcoming guests. If there's one person who had a very, very difficult, inconsistent life, Sari Imenu, right? Sari Imenu lost her father, Haran, when they threw him into the furnace, right? He's Avram Avinu's brother. And they asked him when Nimrod was testing Avraham, right, are you with me? Will you bow down to me or no? And he said no, and they threw him into the Kivshan Ha'esh. So they asked his brother Haran, are you with Avraham or are you with Nimrod? And he said, well, we'll see, right? If Avraham comes out of the Kivshan Ha'esh alive, I'm with him. If not, I'm with you, right? Okay, so what happened? Avram comes out of the Kivshan HaEsh alive, and Haran gets thrown in, and he doesn't come out alive. That's Sarai Imenu's father. Sarai Imenu then marries Avram Avinu. Then they have to run away from Nimrod. The whole machlek is between Rashi and the Ramban. They're moving all over the place. Haran or Kazdim. Lech Lecha, right? And as soon as they come to Eretz Yisrael, famine, right? Sarai Imenu brings in Hagar. The whole story with Hagar, kick her out, bring her back in. Yishmael, kick them out. No children. Four kings, five kings, Lot. Ah, right. What a balagan, okay? What a balagan her life is. But the Chovos HaLevavos writes, Sarai Imenu was consistent in her Avodas Hashem. And that's why 100 days were like 20, and 20 was like 7. There was a kav, there was a very strong kav of consistency. She was always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, the person who is always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who always sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Toiv Lev Mishta Tamid, they're always at a party. Because when we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our life, we're in a party. And he even says the Shari Tshuva, that Mishta Toiv, the two words, Mishta and Tov, in Gematria, is Adar Rishon, is the first Adar. And he continues and he says, and a person should make a Suda on Yudalid and Tedvav, on both days of Adar Rishon. And what should they do with this Suda? They should say Shiros v'tishbachos v'hodayat Hashem Yisbarach. They should sing praises and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiros v'tishbachos v'hodayat. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he says that's what makes a Suda a Suda's Mitzvah. He refers us back to Hilchas Chanukah. There's no Chiyuv to make a Suda on Chanukah, but a person should make a Suda on Chanukah and sing praises and say praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodaya, and thank Hashem for all of the nisim that happened on Chanukah, so too on Purim Katan. And if we want to understand this in a bigger picture, right? The idea of making a Suda's Mitzvah, the idea of Shevech V'Hodaya L'Hashem Yisbarach, is more powerful than Bakasha, is more powerful than request. The B'nai Yisachar, he writes in Chodesh Tishrei, when we're going to Shul, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Everyone comes with a big, big, big list of yeshuot, of what we need for the coming year. Number one, we need chayim. We need life. We need chayim toivim. We need not just life, we want a good life, right? Chayim toivim, parnasa tova, briyut, right? Nachat from our children, world peace, avos Hashem. We come with this whole long list. And the B'nai Yisachar says, you know what? Put your list aside. I'll tell you how to get everything you want on your list, plus more. And the B'nai Yisachar says, the way to get everything on your list is not to make a list. Not that kind of list. Make a different list. Make a list of hodaya. Make a list of things you want to thank Hashem for. The B'nai Yisachar writes, when you come to the second bracha of Shmona Esrei, and you say, Mechal kel chayim b'chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you sustain life with chesed, with loving kindness. Stop. And think about how much chesed Hashem sustains us with. We don't just have chatzilim, right? We have an even chatzilim. There's millions of ways to make chatzilim. I say this, why? Because a few years ago, my friend's father passed away, and I went to help her clean out his apartment. And he was a pack rat. He had everything. And one of the things we found was his tzener card, his ration card from when the state was first founded. And you saw he had like one egg, 1 liter of milk, and 6 chatzilim every week. That was his food. That's what he got. It was his age and his stage in life. That's what he got. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was something like mizazeh like that, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechal kel chayim b'chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made that all food looks and tastes the same. It all looks and tastes like applesauce. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechal kel chayim b'chesed, walk over to the Shuk Machane Yehuda. Such color HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us within the food itself. Such spices, such goodness, right? I tell all my students in the seminary, how many pairs of shoes do you have, right? You only need one pair of shoes. And there were many times that people went yachef, barefoot, right? You have shoes. How many pairs of shoes do you have? Who here has less than 10 pairs of shoes? Raise your hand, right? Nobody, okay? It's what? It's Michal Kel Chayim B'chesed. How many black skirts do you have? You only need one black skirt, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you 10. Mechal kel chayim b'chesed. Mechaye meisim b'rachamim rabim. Stop and think, how many times did I just feel dead? How many times were we positive that Am Yisrael is dead? How many times was I about to fall? How many times did I fall? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked me up. How healthy I am. My eyes work. My head works, right? My nose. Go head to toe thinking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think of people who you know had a refuah shlema, right? Well, how many sudas amin do we make for Menachem Mendel ben Masha Malka? A chayal from Chutz Laaretz who came to Israel. He was learning in Yeshivat Lev HaTorah in Beit Shemesh. And he did his service. After his service, he met his kala. They got engaged. 6 weeks into their engagement, he found out that he has cancer. He went back to America for a long, very difficult treatment. Baruch Hashem, he got married 2 weeks ago. Whenever I say Roy Fecholim, I say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you healed Menachem Mendel and Masha Malka. How many, and we made Sudas Amin almost every week, L'Zchus Refuah Shleima. And tonight is a big Sudas Amin by Yehudis. Okay. Mechal Kel Chaim Bechesed, Mechayim Meisim Berachamim Rabim, Soymech Noiflim, Roy Fecholim, Matir Asurim. How many things did I think I could never do? I never thought that I could go into the city hall and argue my Arnona bill in Ivrit. And hine, I did it, right? I did it. Matir Asurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu released my bounds, that yes, I can argue in Hebrew. Look at that, right? Without getting flustered. Matir Asurim, how many things did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for me? The Bnei Yisachar says, it says, Shari Dema'os Ninalu, Lo Ninalu, La'olam Lo Ninalu. The gates of tears are never locked, but there's still gates. Why are there gates? Because sometimes we cry for things that are not good for us, right? We want that job. We want that apartment. We want to go to that place, and it wouldn't be good for us. It wouldn't be good for us. So therefore, there's gates, and Hashem uses those tears. He stores them, and he uses them for something else. But the Bnei Yisachar says, there's no gates for Hodaya. Praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no gates. There's no gates. It goes straight. There's no filter. There's no selection. Hodaya is always mekubal. Hodaya, thanks, is always accepted. Mashalama hadavar dome. Imagine you make a cake for Shabbos, okay? And you worked really hard to make this cake, okay? And you have your children over, and you're cutting slices, and you give the first one here. Take a piece of cake. And he says, wow, thank you. Ooh, it looks so good. I can't wait to eat it. I'm so excited. And then you slice the next piece and you give it to the next kid. And the next kid says, excuse me, and every house has one of these kids. He got approximately 0.02 millimeters more frosting than I did. Can I have a little bit more? Subconsciously, next time those same kids are over, you're going to slice a bigger piece for the one who said thank you, and the one who was 0.2 millimeters, he's going to get a smaller piece. Subconsciously, in my last thoughts, the Gemara tells us it's a klal, mida toiva meruba, right? Mida toiva meruba, when a person has mida toiva, when a person says, wow, how much good Hashem gave me, how good I am, Hashem says, ah, good, I'll give you more, right? When grandparents buy toys for their grandchildren, what's the most important thing that they want about the toy? That they know it comes from this grandma and not the other grandma. Okay? Why? Because mida toiva meruba, when a person appreciates, wow, you gave this to me, thank you. They use it, they don't use it, they like the wrapper more than they like the object. Everything's fine. Just know that I gave you. I gave you. I want you to realize it came from me. Okay? A person who gives something to a baby has to tell the mother. Why? Because the mother, the ima, has to know. She should know where her kid is getting fed from, right? But she should also know who she has to thank, who she owes to. So, Rav Yechiel Mipariz, brought down in the Shari Tshuva, says, we Purim, the whole month of Adar, including Adar Aleph, is the month of Vinahafechu. Is the month where everything was turned around. Everything was turned around. From the beginning of the Megillah till the end. The Megillah starts with, Hu Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh. Right, there's a famous joke. How do you know that everybody in Shushan was hard of hearing? Achashverosh, who? Right, Achashverosh, right? Who was it? But, there's a lot of long medrash on that. But one of the medrashim says, Achashverosh, the same Achashverosh, who was a stable boy in the house of Belshazzar, Vashti's father, That same Achashverosh is now king of 127 provinces, right? The same Achashverosh. And the same Achashverosh, the Medrash says, who loved Vashti. Do you know how much Achashverosh loved Vashti? Achashverosh loved Vashti. I never saw this Medrash, but I read it. My son-in-law put out a book about Purim, interesting Midrashim about Purim, and he showed me that it says in the Medrash that Achashverosh, after he killed Vashti, had Vashti killed, he regretted it so much, he stuffed her and had her in his room until Esther came. So the Medrash says, Achashverosh, who Achashverosh? The Achashverosh who so loved Vashti, who stuffed her and just wanted to look at her all day, even though she was, right? Who Achashverosh? The same Achashverosh who had Vashti murdered. It doesn't make sense. Everything is about a hafechu. And Vashti, right? Look at her downfall. Up, down, up, down, right? She's the daughter of Belshazzar. She's running away from the takeover, okay? The mered, the rebellion. And then Achashverosh finds her, and he marries her, and she's the Malka again. And then she's killed. And Haman was a barber. Haman is a nothing, right? He's a nothing, nothing, nothing. And it says in the beginning of the Megillah, he's called Mimuchan. What is Mimuchan? The Medrash says, Mumkan. Everyone who looked at him says, that guy's blemished. Mumkan, he has a blemish. He was a nothing, 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 nobody, and he goes to the highest heights. Esther is an orphan with no... She's all of a sudden the Malka. Mordechai was not popular at all, right? In the beginning, nobody liked Mordechai, right? Nobody likes the Rabbanim who go around and say, no, 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 no. Don't go to the party, don't go to the party. Givald, right? We just like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha, right? No one likes the no, no, no. Mordechai was not popular. At the end of the Megillah, his ratings go up, right? At the end of the Megillah, Mordechai Ratzui L'Roi Vechov, and Mordechai is pleasing to most, 51%, right? Majority, 51% liked him, but that was more. It's interesting, the Medrash also says, in the beginning of the Megillah, why didn't they like him? Because he was new-newing them all the time. At the end, when he's the second to the king, and he's helping the king, Achashverosh, govern all of his affairs, you know what they said? Ah, Mordechai, bittul Torah, right? He shouldn't be, that's what they did at 120 or 180 also. Everything is turned around. And the Jews who at the time of Megillas Esther were beginning to distance themselves from Yiddishkeit. How many of them were married to non-Jewish wives? When they come back with Ezra HaSofer, he has to work very hard and fight fire and brimstone against intermarriage, right? People who saw and lived in the Beis HaMikdash. How many of them even came back? Very few. They were going away, away, away from everything Jewish. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, but at the time of Megillas Esther, at the time of the Nes, they re-accepted the Torah from ahava, from love. Everything with a hafechu. So the koyach of Chodesh Adar is odir b'morom. Hashem is great. Hashem could do anything at any time. Nikimi me'afar dar me'ashpas yarem evyon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take a person from the lowest place and put them in the highest place, right? I don't want to get political now, but you all know who I'm talking about, right? All kinds of interesting people who, when they told you in first grade, right, you can be the president of the United States one day, who believed, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. HaMamlich Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu anoints the kings. Ein malasot. A person could be ro'i, a person could be not ro'i. Hashem can put a person from the lowest place to the highest place, and vice versa, as the Shira of Chana, as Chana ben Neviya sings. And this is so the koyach of Adar, and this is the great simcha that comes into Adar. The simcha of knowing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could turn anything around at any time. Nothing is locked in. Ein mazel liyisrael. Every nation has a mazel, has a destiny. This and this is going to happen. Every person was born and they're going to be either a chacham, they're going to be either smart or not. Right? The person's mazel, they're going to try to diet their whole life, and they're never going to lose weight, right? It's with mazel, okay? But ein mazel Yisrael, Klal Yisrael through tefillah and through Torah can overcome their mazel, could change their mazel. Nothing is written in stone by us. Anything could change at any time. And so therefore, we double Chodesh Adar, because Adir, it's the strongest month. And it brings us the most simcha because we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. It gives us the most geula, the highest level of redemption, when a person knows they could depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything at any minute. We live this all the time, right? What are we doing here, Bechlau? Right? What are we doing here, Bechlau? How did we get here? How did we get here? How did we get here after the Holocaust? How did we get here from all the years of all the oppression? How did we get here? How are there Jews, religious Jews, Bechlal today that know what Torah is? It doesn't make any sense, right? We should all be, I don't know, Janes and Christines and I don't know. What are we doing here? And what are we doing here in Eretz Yisrael? And what are we doing here learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael? V'nahafichu, v'nahafichu. Kodesh Baruch Hu could do anything at any time. This is the koyach of Chodesh Adar. So the Tzadok HaKohen says, Benosaf to this, we have to understand that at this time, when we're aligning the solar calendar and the lunar calendar, we're doing something very, very great. What are we doing? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the creations, their mishalim and manifestations and lessons on how to connect to Hashem Yisbach and how the spiritual world works. So when Hashem creates sun, it represents a certain koyach. When Hashem creates moon, it represents a certain koyach. And we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and the moon originally, they're both called the two giant luminaries. Okay? Shnei Ma'oris HaGadolos. What does this mean? So Rashi explains, Rashi brings down the Gemara from Maseches Chulin Daf Samech, which talks about what this means. What does this mean? It means that when the sun and the moon were created, the moon completely reflected all of the light of the sun during all the time. Okay? That it doesn't mean that she had her own light. She didn't have her own light, if I understood this correctly. She didn't have her own light, but she completely, in other words, she looked like a sun, but she was just really reflecting the light of the sun. And notice I say he and she. Sun is he, moon is she. Okay? That's the Gemara tells us in the Seches Kulin. And what happened? The moon comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the moon says to Hashem, two kings cannot share the same crown. Yefshar kacha. So what does Hashem say? You're right. Go make yourself smaller. One second. That's not the answer that I was looking for, right? That's not exactly what the moon wanted to hear. So the moon answers, what do you mean? So Hashem says, go rule by day and by night. And the moon says, but what's the point of that, right? We do see the moon during the day, but the moon is not giving us light. We don't need the moon's light. What will that help? The moon asks. And Hashem answers, go so that Yisrael may count the days and the years through you. And the moon says, count the days and the years through me, but also the sun is necessary for counting the times and the days and the seasons. Hashem says, go so that tzaddikim will be called by your name. And he gives three examples. Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, and David HaKatan. The little Yaakov, the little Shmuel, and the little David. And Hashem saw, and this is ununderstandable, Hashem saw that the moon was so upset, and Hashem says, Heviu kapara alai shemi'atati et hayareach. Bring an atonement for me that I made the moon small. Whoa, 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 whoa. What is this, right? What is this conversation, right? What does this mean, right? So, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi is teaching us such a fundamental secret of life. And this is the secret of the leap year, the Shnat Ibur. And he says, what he's saying is, there's a lot of ways to learn the Sagarata. There's a lot of, an excellent book called The Moon's Lost Light by Heschelis. Very interesting book, it's a pen name. It's a very, very interesting book which explores this Agarata in 300 pages of just trying to figure out what this means. She has one Mahalich that it's talking about equality. Okay, and the equality between men and women. I want to take a different, you could also see there's another book also that explores this in great depth, which is called Arrow Circle Spiral, okay, by Miriam Kasman. That's another way of looking at this medrash. I want to take a different aspect of looking at this medrash, this piece of Agarata. And I think that this piece is HaKadosh Baruch Hu interaction with the moon is teaching us all of the secrets of relationships. In all of the Zohar HaKadosh, the writings of the Ari, in the writings of all the Kabbalists, the Ben Ish Chai, etc., all talk about this concept of two different opposite forces in the world. One called Mashpia and one called Mekabel. Loosely translated, Mashpia is the influencer, Mekabel is the receiver. Now, there's all kinds of people in the world, okay? Everybody has one which is more dominant. Even there are more dominant Mashpia or there are more dominant Mekabel. Every object in this world, not alive, right? Inanimate objects are either Mashpiim or Mekabel. Electricity works on this principle, right? There's plus and there's minus. There's the Mashpia and the Mekabel. When they're joined together, they make a circuit, okay? The way that atoms, you can go on and on. Physics works like this. There's a force which gives and there's a force which takes. In general, right, in Kabbalistic thought, the sun is the giver, the Mashpia, and the moon is the receiver. The man is the Mashpia, and the woman is the receiver. In a physical sense, and also an emotional sense. Now, when we say Mashpia Mekabel, if I ask 1,000 people, which one is stronger in the following example? The example is Mashpia is some very wealthy man, and Mekabel is a poor man. The poor man knocks on the door of the Mashpia and asks him for a handout, and he gives him, who's stronger? Most people out of 1,000 will say the Mashpia. Some people will say, why is the Mashpia? Maybe it's the Mekabel. Why is it the Mekabel? How could the Mekabel is the stronger one? Because take the following example. Imagine a group of women get together and they want to make a performance. And for 3 months, they live, breathe, and eat this production. Costumes, scenery, drama, dancing, everything is perfect. Rehearsal, money, put into it, time, effort. They haven't seen their families in months, right? It's opening night, they're all on stage, the curtain goes up, and the audience is empty. Nobody's there, not one person comes. So, one second, who's dependent on who? A mashpia can only be a mashpia if there's someone to be Mekabel. The Mashpia is nothing if no one is Mekabel from him. If a person who wants to give, right, if I want to come give a lecture, right, I want to teach Torah, but no one wants to listen to me. I had this once. I had this in one of the seminars I taught in. I had these two girls. I taught Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, usually the girls are, wow, Shir HaShirim. So these two girls, every single morning they came in. Boker Tov, the sweetest mitzukot. Go to sit in their back row, and before I finish taking attendance, the lights are out. At the end of the lesson, they would pop up as soon as the bell would ring, pass by my desk, thank you so much, right, thank you, right, okay. One day, I said to them, after a couple months, I'm like, come here. I put my head down, I said, I want you to give me a bracha, that I should be zeicha to put my kids to sleep as easily as I put you to sleep. So a person could want to come teach, and they could be full of Torah, and full of wow, and nobody wants to listen. Knock, knock, nobody's home. So, wow, I'm this great Mashpia, but I'm not a Mashpia unless there's a Mekabel, right? And in essence, what is the Mekabel doing? The Mekabel is giving me the gift of using my talents, my resources. The Mekabel is giving me the gift of being me. Without the Mekabel, right, so there are people who I guess do performances for themselves, right? You could sit in front of the mirror in the bathroom, make all kinds of faces, sing songs, clap for yourself. But most people need another person to receive. I could want to do chesed, but nobody wants my help, right? I don't want your help. Then I'm stuck. It's one of the saddest things in the world. Is somebody who has so much to give, so much talent. I see this sometimes with kids in school. They're such good kids. They have so much to give, and nobody wants to take from them, right?
Nobody wants. Some of the saddest things. So Mashpia and Mekabel is not one is stronger than the other. They both need each other. They both need to create this cycle of Mashpia, Mekabel, Mashpia, Mekabel. They're both intertwined. You can't have a world through full of only Mashpia, 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 right? You have too many chiefs and no Indians, right? It's a disaster, right? You have some families like that where everybody's got their, you know, opinion and and it's got to be my way or the highway, right? Kashe, kashe, kashe. On a side note, I'll tell you a very short story, but it's an amazing story. My sons had a teacher in elementary school in their cheder who was one of 20. One of 20, okay? One of 20. Real Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi family. The family's name is Kletzkin. It's a known story. And the mother was Niftaret. They were all elderly people. The father was Niftar. And throughout their lives, and this is, no one ever understood, their kids never understood, their father bought for them, each one of them when they got married, bought for them an apartment. And they had no idea where on earth. They lived in a two-bedroom apartment, the parents. 20 children in a two-bedroom, I was in their apartment because I took my children to the Menachem Avo. They couldn't, there was no room, so they made this tent outside on the whole street because even just sitting, 18 boys and two girls. To see all the 18 boys sitting there was mashu, 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 mashu. Bekitzer, the father passed away and he left no will. After he passed away, they found out that he owned, he was a very, very wealthy man, and he owned many properties in Tel Aviv and Herzliya and Yerushalayim and here. And that's how he had free, that's how he was mafinis them. And they lived a very, very, very pashut life. One pair, he, this teacher, when he used to pass out tofis to the kids, you know those tiny little tofis? No one gets a whole tofi. He used to cut it into six little pieces. My kids used to make fun of him all the time. He used to cut it into six little pieces to teach them to share, because that's what his father taught him. Even though his father was a very, very, very wealthy man, he bought 20 kids' apartments, right? 20 kids' apartments. Bekitzer, 20 children, no will. You know what that is? I work in the Beis Din. You know what that is? That's, I would love to be the lawyer for one of them, because that's years of litigation, right? Years and years of litigation. No one's going to touch those properties for years. In the end, it's all going to go to the Medina, right? Nothing. It, you know, it took them a year to divide the property. Why? When they sat down at the table, this is how it went. You know, listen, everybody. Our brother Yaakov, he has a child with Down syndrome. Let's give him more. And Yaakov says, no, why me? What about Chaya? Her husband's such a Talmud Chacham, he sits and learns all day. Let's give her more. And they said, no, but look, he has it so rough. He works so hard for his parnasa and he can't, let's give him more. Nobody wanted to take. They all wanted to give to the next one, until finally at the end they just agree that they'll divide it even. They'll sell all the properties or whatever they did, I don't know how, and they divided it even. That was their fight over who's going to take more. Okay, that was a side story. Okay, but it's a beautiful story. What? I have a face. Anyways, what were we talking about before that? Anyway, there's a Kabbalah that if you think of a story, a Mishpia Mekabel. So the Mashpia and the Mekabel, it's not Mashpia, 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 and it's not Mekabel, Mekabel, Mekabel. It has to be this beautiful dance of interaction, Mashpia, Mekabel, Mashpia, Mekabel. This round circle of giving and taking, of giving, because when the moon makes herself small, Hashem is telling her, you want to be a Mashpia? You want to be a son? You know how you be a real Mashpia? Real influencer? A real giver? You let others give. You make space for others. You let somebody else shine. When I see girls, when they're working on projects in the seminary, right, there's some girls who they can't work with other people. Why? Because they can do everything themselves, right? I don't need your help. I can do everything better, faster, you know, more, that's not the point of a group activity. A real leader is not someone who does everything herself. A real leader brings out the best in everybody, makes herself small in order to give other people the opportunity to shine. And Hashem says to the moon, that's the relationship I want with you. I want with you, Klal Yisrael, right, that we should have this relationship of Mashpia Mekabel, Mashpia Mekabel. So if you want to just be Mashpia, 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 you're going to end up being a Baal Gaiva. And what Kodesh Baruch Hu said, me and a Baal Gaiva, we can't live in the same world. There's only place for one of us. Make yourself small. Realize that there's Hashem is Baruch. Realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. Realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. And reflect His light. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also makes Himself a Mekabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekabel our mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekabel our tefillos. It's like when our little kids come home, right? And they made some kind of scribble scrabble. Here for you, Safta. Wow, it's a line. It's red. And you put it in the middle of your refrigerator. God only knows what it's supposed to be, right? We're not going to let any graphologists look at it because they'll start telling us our kids and grandchildren are crazy, right? But and we look, wow, thank you. And it's so precious to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing with our mitzvahs. Here, I'll take your mitzvahs. Bring me your mitzvahs. Bring me your masim tovim. Hashem needs our mitzvahs and masim tovim. Korbanos, no. But Hashem makes Himself me'at. He makes Himself small, kiviyachol. We're talking about Hashem Yisbarach, in order to be mekabel from us. And that's the relationship that Hashem wants. Mashpia mekabel. Rav Nosson, Minimarov, the prime disciple of Rabbi Nachman, teaches that Purim is Miloshen Peirurim, Loshen of crumbs. And he quotes in Alim Letrufa, letter Shin Gimel, he says there's a pasuk, he quotes the Medrash in the Maseches Avodah Zarah, Zion. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu quotes a pasuk from Iyov, Kipido Lahem Yeshua, I will be like the beak of a chicken for them, I will save them. What's the beak of a chicken? What's this pasuk talking about? And the Medrash says, just like a chicken, Shemenaker Ba'ashpa, he pecks around in the garbage. All the pigeons that come at the end of the day and get all the bamba crumbs and bisli crumbs and one crumb and one crumb and one crumb. And according to something I looked up on the internet, right? A bird eats 7 times its body weight a day. From what? Crumbs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring me your mitzvahs. Bring me your crummy mitzvahs. Bring me your half smile. Bring me your half davening, right? I had the first 3 words. Bring me your half bracha. Bring me your asher yotza, which ended up being tefillah saderech, right? Bring me whatever you can. Bring me, bring me, bring me. Umitzarfan lecheshbon gadol, Hashem says. And I'll make them into a big cheshbon. Deposit 10 agurot in the bank. The banks don't even let you deposit 10 agurot anymore. They don't want your agurot. Hashem says, bring me, bring them to me, bring them to me. Umitzarfan lecheshbon gadol. And that's Lashon Peirurim Purim, Rabbi Nassim says. And bonusayim, let's add it all together. So here we have the sun, which is the koach of Mashpia primarily, and the moon, which is the koach of Mekabel. And we don't want just the sun, and we don't just want just the moon. We want them to be aligned in complete harmony. And that, again, we said the sun represents man, the moon represents woman. When they're aligned in complete harmony, we get a shnat me'uberet, a pregnant year, a year full of hope, a year full of a new life, a year full of existence. Adar Aleph and Adar Beis, especially in the leap year, is a time which is very misugal to daven for Shalom Bayis. Because why? We just said, the moon and the sun are being aligned. They create a Shnat Ibur, a pregnant year. And it's a tremendous skula to daven also, that Eim Habanim Smecha, all those who are waiting for children, they should merit to have children. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should merit to be aligned and balanced in our avodas Hashem, and fill our year with simcha. Because when a person is aligned and balanced, that's when they can be toiv leiv mishteh tamid. They could be at this perpetual party. When I'm over here and I'm over here, I'm never here. Hashem should give us a month full of simcha. Chodesh tov u'mivorach.